This morning I'd like to expand a little on the instructions we've been giving and also speak a little about the context of our practice, what we're engaging in here together. It's very helpful, I feel, to hold as a, in a way, an understanding of the foundation of what we are doing, that we are cultivating our capacity, our natural ability to actually be present and awake, and that what we provide in the way of techniques and instructions are intended and designed to be in support of this possibility, of this capacity which we all have to be awake, to actually be conscious and aware of what is occurring for us in the moment that it occurs. That we are learning to be mindful, to be aware and awake, and to open to the truth of our experience, just as it is. And so often we wish and desire and long for or expect that our experience will somehow be different than the way it is. Meditation asks us again and again to actually trust in the reality, in the truth of what we experience, without seeking to change it necessarily. And that to bring a quality of interest, of inquiry to each moment, to each experience, to trust that each moment and each experience that we are in has something to offer to us, has something to reveal to us, that we can learn from whatever occurs. So that we make no obstacles, we make no problems in our meditation, but trusting that what comes is of value, that nothing is rejected or pushed away. Although in what we see and understand, there may be things where we realize we need to make changes in our life. But beginning from a place of acceptance, of opening to just where we are right now, and thereby being in a place of steadiness from which we are able to respond to what we see. Bringing with that quality of interest and inquiry to really understand, also a sense of softness, of kindness, of gentleness, where we make no demands upon ourselves, we make no demands upon our circumstance, to be other than just as we are, to be other than just as our situation is. And finding this interested, connected, and yet non-demanding attention, non-demanding connection, lies very much at the heart of our practice, of what we are actually cultivating and deepening within our being through simply paying attention and coming back again and again when we become lost. And so we can really allow ourselves to slow down. So much of our time in our lives, we're trying to get somewhere else, somewhere where we are not right now. And we live our life disconnected from where we are because of trying to get to or to be somewhere else. And therefore we're so easily in a hurry, so often under pressure, stressed and tense. Here, there's nowhere to get to. You've already arrived. If you simply allow yourself to recognize this, there is no other destination except where you already are. So, of course, there's no need to rush. There's no need to hurry. There's no need to produce any results. And the pressure, the tendency, the habit, feeling that we must produce results, something that we can measure, something that we can take home. What would it be to let all of this go? To just relax, perhaps even we could say dissolve, as salt dissolves in water, dissolve into our experience as it is just now. And to see we don't need to be anyone. We can spend so much time, so much energy trying to project a good image or a popular image or a successful image, trying to project that image to others so that they will like us or accept us or respect us. Equally trying to project that image to ourselves so that we will be able to like, accept, or respect ourselves. Again, there's no need here for any of that. And we'll see ourselves doing it, of course, in our minds. Just to notice that, to see if we can let it go. We're not here to become somebody different, not even to become somebody better, but to understand that what we truly are is not defined, is not limited by the descriptions and the images that we hold of ourselves, or the descriptions and the images with which others hold of us. So we learn to embrace our experience with an open-hearted, clear and connected attention. And in learning to embrace each moment, we equally learn to embrace our life, because it is in fact our life that we are meeting in each moment. It is not to be found in any other place except where we are. And if we are not in that place, in this moment, then we are not alive. We are not fully alive, but living in a dream world of half sleep and half consciousness. So we use the breath as a focus, as an anchor and a refuge which is always available to us from the first moment of our life to the last. The breathing is our companion on this journey, and so it provides us this opportunity to be connected, because the breath is always happening right now. Always, right now. And when we are with the breath, we are connected to what is happening right now. One aspect of it. Of course, many things are happening right now, but we only need to connect with one thing at a time. And in fact, we can only ever truly connect with one thing at a time. If we try to connect with too many things, we find our attention is fragmented, is broken up into many pieces, and we experience our life as broken, as fragmented or shattered into pieces. And learning to connect, to be present, allows our experience of our being and of our life to return to a sense of wholeness. To return to a sense of wholeness through connecting, through being present. So the connecting with the breath enables us to harmonize mind and body, to unify the power and the potency of our mind and our heart, which all too often is spread amongst many, many different things. And we often wonder why we are not so effective or powerful as we might feel we could be. Sometimes it's because we have not learned to focus on one thing at a time, and trust that in that way all things which need our attention will receive that attention as appropriate. And to be aware in attending to our breath that it is simply the breathing we observe as it is, not an idea, not an image, not thinking about breathing, but really feeling it. We are so used to relating to our life through concepts, through ideas, through thinking about. And it can seem so rare that we actually simply allow ourselves to feel our life, to live our life more intimately connected, in touch with what's there. So feeling our breath as it is, and making no demands on the breathing. The breath can be just as it is. There's no right way to breathe. We're not learning to become experts at breathing here. This is not necessary, not helpful. But letting the breath be just as it is, without any demand, again, is an expression of learning to let ourselves and our life and each other be as we are. We see when we observe the breath that it has a lot to teach us. In some ways, it is just another experience, no more important than any other, though we choose to use it. It does have some particular things that we can learn from it. We see each breath that comes in goes out. Every moment we attend to the breathing, we are focusing, we are seeing, we have the opportunity to understand the truth of change. That every experience in our life which comes to us will also leave. The in-breath comes, changes to the out-breath, and the breath is gone. The air we draw into our body, we then expel out. Everything, every person, every situation in our life, every part of ourself, in fact, will not be different than this. We see it come, we see it go. Sometimes it takes a little longer than the breath. It comes, it stays for a while, and then it changes into something else. Sometimes things feel like they will stay forever, and yet this is not possible. It is the law of nature, of all things, our bodies, our world, our minds, that they come and they pass. And when we see and understand this, it teaches us not to hold on. It teaches us not to grasp and cling onto our experience, but to receive it as it comes and to release it as it goes. And thereby we are in harmony with the flow of life rather than in a struggle with it. For if we seek to grasp hold of and make things stay, we will be in struggle, we will be in conflict. We cannot preserve anything. And the breath reveals this to us again and again. And actually it also reveals that it's not wise to try and hold or to keep on clinging to anything. Imagine we take an in-breath and we decide, I like this in-breath, I think I'll keep it. For how long can we keep this breath? We cannot. We see that actually releasing the breath, letting go, is what makes space for the next breath to come. And so in life, what we let go of, when we let go our holding, rather than losing something, what we see is we create space for something new. And the breath shows this to us in every moment. The breath also reveals that in fact our life is simply living by itself. Because if we observe our breath, we see there's nothing we need to do in order for the breathing to occur. We don't need to sit down and say, okay, I think for the next 45 minutes I'll breathe. No, we don't need to do this. The breathing just happens. If we space out, if we start thinking about our home or something in the past or the future, it's not like the breathing stops. And then only when we remember again, oh, I'm supposed to be breathing, that it begins. It's not like this. The breath doesn't actually need us to make it happen. And in this way again, it shows us that our life is unfolding in a way which we do not need to make it happen. We cannot, in fact, make it happen. And if we try to make it happen in a certain way, according to a view or a belief, we see how much struggle, how much pain that can create. If we try to make our breath happen in a certain way, we think, oh, meditation, yes, I should be getting more spiritual by now, so my breath should be very deep, because this is spiritual to have deep breathing. But my breath is not deep, it's shallow. Then we have a problem. Something is wrong. I'm not breathing right. We go to speak to the teacher. What is wrong with me? And it makes a problem where, in fact, there is no problem. The body knows. If it needs deep breath, it will breathe deeply. If it needs only shallow breath, it will breathe in a shallow way. And equally, the breath is long or short, rough or smooth. Just experiencing as it is, the breath as it is, seeing that in fact our life, just as our breath breathes by itself, so too our life breathes by itself. And the idea, the rather sad mistake, that we have to do it, that I somehow have to make this happen, is the cause of so much of our suffering. Because even something so simple as and so necessary as we take food, now we put the food in our mouth, but when the food is in our mouth, from there our body takes over. These basic things, breathing, digesting food, the body does it. It knows. It has its own intelligence. And life too has this intelligence. This is just a simple example of it. What the breath also reveals to us is what is going on when we are not with the breath. The breath reveals everything else. When we attend to the breath, we see more clearly what our mind is doing when it wanders off, when it becomes confused or frustrated or entangled in its patterns of thinking, in its fear and its anger, in its wanting and its craving. We see this more clearly simply by observing the breath. So the breath is a mirror for us that reveals other experiences simply by paying attention. And as we steady, as we deepen in our being, connecting with the breath, over the days we will be slowly expanding the field of attention, including more and more aspects of our experience in that direct, focused attending, so that we ultimately include the whole of our life. For no part of our life is or can be separate from any other, although of course we have the habit to think of it in this way. And today, in your meditation, working with the breathing still is quite a primary object for you, coming back to the breath, but also being aware when your attention is drawn to your body, when there are sensations arising in your body that call your attention. And for many people at times this can include strong or painful, unpleasant experiences in our body. We feel in our knees or our ankles strong sensations. We feel in our back, our shoulders, or perhaps anywhere at all it can be. And again, not to see this as an obstacle, but as something we have the opportunity to learn from. That pain is, in fact, a reality in our life. No one can go through life without experiencing pain. From the very beginning of taking birth, passing through a narrow channel, coming into a world where we have sensitivity, we are delicate, we have a delicate instrument that can register so many signals, so many sensations, and some of them are too strong, too painful. To learn how to live wisely with pain, when we notice in the sitting there are painful sensations, to just bring your attention to that area and see if you can actually, as we've already spoken, relax with your attention into the area. Often our first response to pain is contraction. We contract and somehow believing that by contracting we can make the pain go away. And yet it's as though if we squeeze our hand very tightly so it hurts, and then we take our other hand and squeeze it even more tightly, thinking this will help. And of course it makes the pain worse. Contraction intensifies the pain. So using the out-breath, breathing consciously, feeling the relaxing energy of your out-breath, moving into the area of painful sensations. And also in that relaxing the area, exploring a little, feeling where is the pain most strong? Where is it in the middle amount of pain? Where is it just very gentle or subtle? Is there an edge you can feel where the pain stops? Just feeling, exploring, taking an interest in pain as an experience. And finding a balance in your relationship so that just because there is some discomfort or pain, it does not mean we must always move or adjust our posture. Being willing just to see if we can be with it. Often the contraction is what makes it so difficult. If we relax into it, sometimes then it's just sensations. Perhaps strong, intense, heat, pressure, throbbing. We can be with it. Other times, of course, it's too much. And if you feel it's becoming a battle, your fists are clenched, your jaw is sort of locked and gritted, of course, this is not helpful. Then perhaps very mindfully and consciously to adjust your posture, to change position, including that in your meditation, not regarding that as a failure, but in fact that movement of your body, very conscious and mindful, is part of your practice. It's what's happening right now. So being attentive, connected as you do that, and then perhaps later coming back to your posture that you began with. So neither being blown by the wind of every unpleasant sensation, not feeling we have to react to everyone, nor yet feeling that we are somehow bound to sit unmoving in the face of what feels like it is too much or overwhelming for us. Finding a balance, it is different for each of us, but we can find it in ourselves if we bring a wisdom, a courage, and also a kindness to the experience of pain. Understanding that pain comes and it goes. And when we observe it, we often find that rather than one large solid thing we call pain, there are in fact many sensations, perhaps moving, perhaps changing. And the sharp, intense point of pain maybe is here on one part of our knee in this moment, and the next moment it's somewhere else. It's not the same. And understanding change is a great support to us in being able to open and to be with pain. You can also notice at times your body, just feeling it, feeling yourself as we do when we begin the sitting, just connecting with your body. Just so you really feel that presence. We so easily live in our minds. And here, learning to live more in our body. Connect more with our body. Just feeling it as it is. Feeling the parts of it at times, when you notice they are there. And so, in beginning the sitting, again, establishing yourself in a posture that is upright, that feels balanced and stable. Allowing your posture to be an expression of alertness and at the same time an expression of relaxation. Finding that balance between the two. Neither rigid nor completely sort of slumping or collapsing. Just establishing that posture. And checking in during the sitting at times. Just checking in with your body, feeling your body. Re-establishing a posture that feels steady and balanced, alert and yet relaxed. Bringing that alert and yet relaxed attention to your breathing. Feeling the breath just as it is. Connecting with it for just one moment. You do not need to connect with all the breath you will have in one sitting. Or do not to think we have now 30 minutes, I must catch all the breaths. Just connect with this breath. Only the breath that is happening now. This is all you need to connect with. Just one breath at a time. And noticing when your mind is drawn away to some other experience, when you become lost in thinking. When you notice that this has occurred, not being judgmental, not being harsh on yourself, but just observing how this occurs, knowing it has happened, and beginning again, reconnecting with your breathing. When strong or painful sensations arise, allowing your attention to go to the sensations, staying with them for as long as it may feel to be useful. It may be you spend quite some time, quite a long period, actually exploring the pain, exploring the sensations. That's quite fine. And then again, perhaps the pain will change, perhaps it will not. You may continue with it or come back to your breath. It probably won't come as a surprise to you if I say that meditation retreats can be a very challenging situation. There's many ways in which the retreat form is intended to be challenging. It's not an accident. We actually have to confront our wish to control the way things are, and our wish to avoid, often at all costs, anything which is unpleasant, is painful, or which we do not like. And here, we're really asked to surrender, to just take the situation that we find ourselves in and see what is possible for us within it. See what qualities and capacities of heart and mind we can bring forth from our being to meet the circumstance we find ourselves in. Understanding that it is not always possible for us to change our outer circumstance. This we are not in control of. And yet our inner possibilities are unlimited. We have vast potential to be discovered, to be realized within us. And even though, of course, the retreat situation is challenging intentionally in some ways, it's not that we're doing it because we want to feel more pain or that somehow we think it's good for us to have more pain. So, of course, bringing a real gentleness with it. It's not that we're here to become warriors. But also in this situation, it's also, I think, fair to say, and many of you have done retreats before, that there are some particular conditions which are more challenging than perhaps we have been used to. We are rising rather early in the morning compared to some of perhaps our usual lifestyles. Getting up at 5 o'clock may be a little shock to the system. The heat is quite strong here. We cannot easily escape from it unless we choose to stand in the shower all day. There's not so many things to be sort of comforts. The beds are simple, the chairs are simple, the floor is simple. And recognizing this, we've been rather, I think, unusually loose in the way we've described and instructed you in terms of the way we come and we are together in the meditation hall. And I'd just like to ask, with a, again, acknowledgement of the challenges that are here, that we all bring perhaps, well not we all, but that there be a few guidelines that we actually adhere to that are very supportive for us. And some of these we've already spoken of, and I'm repeating myself. Some of these perhaps expressing rather differently this time. With the sittings, it is really helpful if we can arrive on time. So actually in time when the schedule says the sitting will begin, actually doing our best without, of course, feeling we have to run from one length of the ground to the other, to come on time. And for that it's helpful if the bell ringer rings the bell loudly and frequently so that we hear it. But coming to be here on time, and if you're not able to be here for the time the beginning of the sitting is marked on the schedule, then if it's necessary for whatever reason, you can come in within 5 minutes of that time, even though you're trying to be here on time. If you can't make it by that time, then please find a space outside if you would like to sit. There are chairs, there are trees, there is grass, and you can actually take some time to sit outside so that once we are here, there's a sense of settling. And equally, in having come to the meditation hall, arriving for the sitting, unless something extreme, unless it's an emergency which may arise, to stay for the time of the sitting, to actually remain in the room. If you find yourself uncomfortable or you find tired, of course you can change your posture, perhaps sitting in a chair or leaning against a wall or something like that. This is fine, but actually staying here. But also ask, as a expression of interest in being awake, that as a general rule in the meditation hall, that you actually do not lie down. That in the meditation hall, and it's quite an attractive idea, unless you have some illness or some injury or weakness in your body, that in general to actually remain upright, to be alert, is a contribution to our practice and an expression of the intention that we bring. And in the tradition, in fact, it's not permitted to give teachings to someone who is lying down. It's against the rules of conduct for the nuns and monks, unless they are ill or sick or dying. So that there's a sense of something being offered that comes from both directions. The teachings are offered, and equally there's offered an alertness, a willingness, and sometimes it involves making a little effort. If the effort feels too much, of course, bring your knees up. Put your hands on your knees and your head on your knee. It's actually quite comfortable. And if you need, find a wall. If the posture is too difficult to maintain, use a chair. It's really fine to bring more chairs if we need. And we'll speak a little more about posture also. In the period set aside for standing meditation after the, so it's in fact after the guided meditation, just before lunch, we'll actually take some time to just look and talk with anyone who wishes, it's not compulsory, a little about sitting posture. And just observing, one thing I'll say at this point is, for many of you, I think it will be helpful, particularly if you're new to this, to have a little more height underneath you. A little more height to elevate your bottom and allow you to actually put your knees lower. So if you have some other cushion or pillow, or in fact I have a small bag here stuffed with some spare clothes, it doesn't need to be special, to bring maybe a little more with you that you might experiment with sitting a little higher up, if you have something. And we'll talk, as I said, in the standing period before lunchtime with those who wish about posture a little more. Also, please, bringing some gentle discipline to the guideline of silence. It's very tempting to chat with friends, loved ones, ask how they are going, but really to not do so, to let that go. We've seen one or two people using their mobile phones. Now, obviously you're not necessarily disturbing anyone else because you're not talking to someone else on the retreat, but unless it's really urgent, is it possible to let it go? That if we all together undertake to maintain and sustain the silence, we actually find it's very supportive for all of us. And if any of us feels that we really must be in communication with someone, you may wish to check that out with one of the teachers if it feels appropriate, if you really do feel you need permission to be talking to someone regularly, maybe a sick or very elderly relative that you need to be in touch with, something like this. But if we all participate fully in the silence, there's actually a very powerful gift and possibility that it offers to all of us. And we actually both give and receive support in that shared commitment. Again, a gentle discipline, but a discipline nonetheless. And so today we will have some small group meetings. We have already posted the list. Hopefully you have seen, or some of you, the list is there for the groups we did not meet with yesterday. And again, we will be meeting with you in this coming walking period with some of you, and the others of you in the next walking period after the next sitting. So do please check the notice board to see which groups are meeting with who and where. Though Christopher, Kathy and myself will be in the same locations, approximately near, middle and far, depending on where the shade is to be found in that particular place. So please do come along to your groups. We will also later on this morning be putting up some spaces for you to sign for individual interviews with all of us, with Christopher, Kathy and myself. And these will be opportunities to come and meet and just talk in a one-to-one situation. And we make about 15 minutes for each interview. So there's time to talk a little more if you feel you need to, or if it's something which you don't feel you would like to speak about in the group. So please do feel free to make use of these spaces, bearing in mind also that there will be more tomorrow and the next day. You will not all be able to have one tonight on this day. And if at any time something is, it seems very extreme or urgent for you, and you need to speak with one of us, of course, to let us know, and we will do our best to make time for you. Though, depending on our schedule, I don't know when that would be possible. But always just to know, if it seems very important, you can speak to one of us. But mostly using the groups and the spaces for the one-to-ones to talk about what you need to talk about with us. And in the walking meditation, which for those of you who are not in a group at this point, the walking meditation now, continuing to use your feet touching the ground as the primary connection, the anchor to the present moment, but also allowing yourself to feel a little more your body as it moves. So feeling your legs as they lift and move and take steps. Just feeling your sense of your body moving on the earth as you do. Equally, it's very helpful sometimes in the walking to stop and stand still, as in the standing meditation, just to gather, to collect yourself, to really reconnect with being present. If you feel that you are scattered or busy or you're not really connecting with the walking, stand still and then begin again. Some find it quite helpful at the beginning of each length of your path or the end to just stop for a few moments and then turn around and continue your walking. So just exploring, seeing again what helps you to connect. This is what is important. What supports you in being present? So at this time, as I said, walking and the groups, it's for a group in fact D, F and H will be meeting at this time, and E and G will be meeting after the next, trusting my memory there, E and G will be meeting after the next sitting. But just check the notice board, and the next sitting will be in 45 minutes. Thank you.